CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to the Cowboys questions that matter as we waste away waiting for training camp. But Corey, you may or may not have spilled the beans about something almost 2.5 hours ago.
Yep.
So we wanted to give you another chance to re-rack what's going on right now.
All right. Yeah, especially since I racked him with this. Our friend Reginald Atitula is doing a 12-hour radiothon today, raising money for the Houston Food Bank.
Yeah.
And that's an awesome cause, man. And Reggie, while he was here with us, he always was like, hey, donate to your local food bank. That was always his place. We all have a different, you know, thing that we're interested in. Kevin, you've always been with NAMI and, yep, and pushing for them. And so Reggie would always drop that out there. So if you want to help contribute, here's what we got from him yesterday. Guys, I'm planning at noon, o'clock, that is, to change the listeners or challenge the listeners that if they donate $50 and send me confirmation of the donation, I'll say any FCC allowable message, no obscene or advertisements they want. Might be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So he asked us if we would like to put it in front of our Dallas audience. Said, absolutely, man. That sounds like an awesome idea. By the way, don't forget, Chris Arnold is out at AT&T Stadium, the stadium that Kevin's mom built with Carter Blood Care, as they are doing a blood drive. And the first 1,000 donors, $50 gift certificate and tickets to Ravens Cowboys preseason game. So that's happening too. But,
and you get to help people.
Yes, that's awesome. He's out there until 1 o'clock. Just saying.
So you could go there,
yeah,
and still donate to Reggie and then get your donation back essentially with a gift card and preseason football tickets, and you get to see, potentially, and you get to see CA and the cheerleaders.
The thing I don't know, Kevin.
I like it.
I need, what's the short link? Do we have a short link?
So if you text Sports Radio 610, Sports Radio 610 to 71777. So if you're looking for that, text Sports Radio 610 to 71777.
All right.
And if you text at least $50, and if you donate at least $50, Reggie will say the sentence you want. Corey already has one in mind. I also have one in mind, so I need to get to donating. By the way, they have already raised more than $11,000.
Good for them. That's awesome, dude. And our first one we ever did, we raised about $4,500
in
the whole run.
That is true.
Yeah.
So,
and then it grew from there.
Already destroying us. All right.
Second for charity.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
And that's how you get more.
Hey, however you get the money to donate.
Exactly.
None of my business. All right. So, Cowboys questions that matter. Don't shake your head at me, Alec. While we waste away waiting for training camp, we wanted to do this the last couple days. Too busy, too much content. So let's run it out now. My question for both of you guys. Do you think CeeDee Lamb could hold this NFL record at the end of the season?
Oh, I don't know.
Let me tell you what it is before you go any further.
Well, all right then.
Okay, well, just what's your initial thought?
Yes.
Yes.
But
okay.
Also no, because I think George Pickens is probably going to cannibalize a little bit of this.
Okay.
I think I'm right.
That actually is kind of relevant to this, yes.
I'm kind of guessing, actually, at this point.
So CeeDee Lamb has 496 career receptions going into the season.
That's a lot.
That is. If he can get to 500 this season, that would make him just the fifth player in NFL history to get 500 or more career catches by the age of 26.
Wow.
Here are the other ones. Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Jarvis Landry, and DeAndre Hopkins. The record.
They're all pretty good players.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, feels like there's a
Jarvis
different
Landry
level
off,
with the first two, but yeah.
I don't know. D-Hop was D-Hop one of those dudes we were considering.
So the NFL record by most catches by the age of 26 is 540. It feels safe to assume that CeeDee Lamb can get more than 44 catches, right?
Yes, absolutely.
However, Justin Jefferson has 495 catches.
Oh.
So he is one behind CeeDee Lamb. So it stands to reason that both of these will quite emphatically break the record this season. So my question is, will CeeDee Lamb hold this NFL record at the end of the season?
Hold the record.
Hold it.
Oh.
Not have it for a minute. Have it at the end of the season.
Somebody said most drop passes. Come on, man. What are we doing here? I think he could if the running game isn't good. If the running game's not good, then CeeDee Lamb's going to get more targets because he essentially becomes part of your running game in your short passing game. That's how Michael Thomas got as many receptions as he did. It was short passing game. And a lot of people take shots at Michael Thomas. That was the Sean Payton offense. That was the True. Sean Payton. That was Drew Brees' ability to throw at that point. His arm was starting to fall off a little bit, and short passes. He's still very accurate. So I do think that he can, and I think he's going to have
I think he will. Okay.
I think he will. I think he's going to have a stack of receptions this year, man.
Alec?
I think he will. I'm trying to think about the teams themselves, the offenses, the quarterbacks running the offenses. I think you're the better quarterback in this scenario just because we haven't seen J.J. McCarthy play actual NFL football yet. And then I started asking myself, and I kind of hate this, who's going to be playing from behind more this season? That's going to induce more throwing to your playmaker. In my mind, I would say that probably Dallas is going to end up playing from behind a little bit more because maybe Justin Jefferson does have another 97-yard touchdown with Kevin Harlan losing his mind on the broadcast. You know, he doesn't need to do all of that. CeeDee Lamb, we've seen him need to do that a little bit more recently, so I think he's got the better situation to do it.
All right. Now, Corey, I want to start with you here because
I dare you.
Okay. I agree with this. Because you have been really upfront about ideas and questions about this, so I'll start with you. What does the Eberflus defense look like?
Okay.
Like, what do you think it will look like?
I think Osa's probably going to have his best season.
Okay.
Because his defense is really reliant on his position. You want somebody that can hold up next to him, like that. You definitely want that. You want somebody to do their job there, but Osa is going to be a key component to that. I think Micah is going to get a lot of pressure off the edge. I think they're going to give him many opportunities, but I don't think it's going to be blitzing pressure. He's going to be defensive end in a 4-3 type of situation.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get a lot of that, and I don't know how much linebacker he's going to play. I do think the fact that they beefed up their linebacking crew, Kenneth Murray's a bigger linebacker, Jack Sanborn's a bigger linebacker, they made them bigger because that's what this defense calls for. And if you're too light there, you're going to get run over like the Cowboys have for the last 3, 4, 7 years.
That's true.
So they got beefier in that respect. And that's something Parcells did too. You know, he was running a 3-4 kind of hybrid with Zimmer here. But they did get – he was like, look, Datwin, Dexter Coakley, got to give him credit. Like, they're working hard, but I think you're going to get tough secondary play.
Okay.
The secondary for the Bears, dude, they were fun to watch last year. If you didn't get a chance, they were fun to watch. And I hope that Diggs is able to get into that mentality and be a tough dude along with it.
Yeah.
Cause I think your safety play and your sec. So I think it's going to be a good, strong, stout defense. A lot of people are saying right now that it's old, it's ancient, it's dinosaur, but I think I saw it last year play pretty well. And all it needs to do, it is bend, don't break, but all it needs to do is make sure that not a lot of points are scored on them and that they can give the ball back to their offense and let them do their work. That's going to be the key for them.
For me, there's a reason that a guy like Jack Sanborn comes to the team and is so successful in this scheme is because it's built on effort and intensity.
Yeah.
It's not exactly built upon, okay, we need 4 cornerstone players that are going to be, you know, highest paid at their position that we know what they are. We're going to have enough guys that know their job well enough to where things are going to look consistent even when you do have to make some substitutions across the defensive line. Whenever a linebacker gets banged up and you need to fill in and you need a Marist Leofowl to step up in his second year, it's going to look a little bit more consistent. So I think that it's going to be intense. I think you're going to get takeaways too. You know, whether it's via the interception, the forced fumble, what have you. I think if you were missing the Dan Quinn style a little bit more, not so the finesse aspect of it, but the intensity, playing with your hair on fire and getting takeaways, I think you're going to see a little bit more of that.
Okay. You guys mentioned 2 different people who would qualify for this. So I want to skip to this question.
Skip.
Which Cowboys player makes their first Pro Bowl? So you mentioned Leafau. You mentioned Osa. Neither have ever made a Pro Bowl. Donovan Wilson, George Pickens, Trent Sieg. There's a variety of options. Who would be the Cowboy that you would pick to make their first Pro Bowl?
Tyler Booker as a rookie.
I mean,
as a rookie right guard, I think he's going to do it.
If that happens, then that's probably a pretty good sign. If it's him or Tyler Guyton,
dude, if
that Guyton, feels like a good sign.
And Sean brought it up this morning. He was like, Corey Majors thinks the offensive line for the Cowboys is the linchpin. Like, it's whether or not Agreed. They have, and I agree. I'm right there. If Guyton was to get a Pro Bowl selection, we freaking did it. Every Cowboys front office person should just walk around high-fiving and also hold the middle finger up at the same time going, you guys didn't believe, but it took us one full year to get the real version of him. So I'm going to go with Booker. Still, I'm going to go with the other head of
Osa.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, that'd be
great. Although I do need Osa to have a great season.
For sure. Who do you need to have a great season more?
Tyler Guyton.
Okay. Alec. Cowboys player who will make their first career Pro Bowl this season. And I know it's a Pro Bowl games and all that. Like, ignore that part.
It's just a glorified fan vote at this point. And so my mind goes to George Pickens immediately, because all he needs to do is have a couple of catches that make the SportsCenter top 10, you know, for maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get enough votes to where people are like, oh my God, he's got a real quarterback now. He's making these crazy catches on national television. I just think he's going to get the volume in terms of viewership and actual pass catching, which are not related at all, but they're going to work in this scenario for him to get enough votes.
Okay. I'm intrigued by that answer. Now, I know we're going pretty defensive intensive today. Okay. There will be plenty more questions. We got a long time still till training camp. Will the third time be the charm for Mozzie Smith? He'll now have his third defensive coordinator in 3 years, with each having a different concept of his particular position.
Man, you're asking me to answer.
Well, the way you just said that leads me to
think so.
Okay.
But I thought he had a better year last year than he had his rookie season.
I'd agree. Still not good, but I agree.
But it was better, so he progressed.
He did.
I think he can progress again. Okay. I just don't know where the ceiling is for him now. If the floor, let's just assume the floor was his rookie season.
Okay.
And he'll never be at the floor again.
Okay.
Until maybe he retires.
Yeah.
I don't know where's the ceiling, and is the ceiling really low? And because the floor seems so low to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of the things that were problems for him were motivation, desire to do it on his own, like those types of things. And you're not going to get better if you don't have those things. So did that change for him? And how long is he away from contract season? Two more years?
He'd have one after this year. He'd have one more year, and then you'd have the option, which right now feels like. This
yeah.
Is
so I think he will be better, but it doesn't take a lot to be better.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't have that far to go.
Alec?
Right there with Corey, where it's like, it's kind of hard to go backwards. I feel like any improvement is going to look magnified with him, which is not an indictment. It's not a shot at him. I think that gives him a good base to impress us, though, because I do think that even being average is going to be a success in our eyes. I know at the end of the season, whenever playoffs are over, we're going to be like, well, he still wasn't good enough to warrant his draft position and everything, but we're going to be happy that he did play better. So I do think he's going to step up.
If he's average at one tech,
I'm happy with that, because they've swung and missed so many times.
Me too.
And the one time it felt like they were going to at least have a feasible player at that position, maybe two times that you say with a couple of the veterans that they brought in, Gerald McCoy, if his knee didn't explode in practice, then maybe you had a success at that position for one time and one time only. But outside of that, I'll take anything average from him this year for sure.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll move into the expressway. We got our T-Pain ticket giveaway, but also the combo platter, Independence Day edition. Give us a sports opinion, and then what is your single favorite part about the 4th of July? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
The 1-0 is hit high and deep into center field. Mullins going back, still going back, looking up. It's gone. just over the wall between the 407 marker and 410 marker. Home run number 11 for Corey Seager makes it 6-0 Rangers.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I imagine we might get a decent amount of Rangers opinions in this segment. By the way, right now, I am in the midst of donating $50 to the Houston Food Bank, though you can donate significantly more if you like. But if you do donate at least $50, you can send Reggie a sentence, as long as it's FCC compliant, that he will read on the air. And so, obviously, I have a sentence in mind that I would like to get read. So,
Salad Master.
It's not Salad Master.
I do want him to scream Pippen played all the games.
Okay.
The way Mike did.
Like, yeah. That would be amazing.
That would be something that would make my day.
That actually would be super awesome. All right. So it's time for the Combo Platter Independence Day edition. Give us a sports opinion. And then what is your favorite part about July 4th? 877-881-1053. Give us a sports opinion. And then what is your favorite part about July the 4th? And I'll also tell you that when you make your donation, they're like, hey, you know, you could make it a monthly donation. So maybe you could consider that as well to help out the Houston Food Bank. Or maybe you want to keep it with the North Texas Food Bank or wherever.
You know what, Kevin? When we do Peace-a-thon, that is an option as well.
Yes.
And a lot of people, Adrian said, have committed to that. And that's really awesome.
That is really cool.
So that's always a really cool thing. Sports opinion. Corey Seager ends this season with 33 home runs. He's at 11 right now.
Holy moly, that would be awesome.
He's going to have to go on a bit of a tear, and I think it's about to happen. I think the tear, you're about to see, I think in the next 20 games, you're going to see 10 home runs. Like, I really
do. He could do it.
I really do think that this, that we're about to get. Now, one of the things that I've been frustrated watching is that he has been getting in his own. Last night it happened. There was a strike that he didn't agree with, and then he ended up swinging at a pitch that was a breaking ball really low.
I got
that he had no chance of getting.
Yeah.
And you could see on his face he was frustrated by the fact that it was called a strike still.
Yeah.
He had and he's got to get away. They all have to get away from that. Strikes and balls happen. You can't fix it. You can't correct it. What's the next pitch you can crush?
Yeah.
But I do think that Corey Seager is about to hit that stride right now. And that's exciting for me.
Can
because
I back?
If they're hitting the ball like, dude, they were putting the ball in play again last night.
For sure.
And that creates these opportunities to have a Seager at the plate with two runners on.
Since the game to kick off the Twins series on June 10th, his OPS has gone from 700 to 796. So almost 100 points right there. So I think that is a fair point.
And 4th of July, I appreciate the cookout aspect of it. I always love a good cookout.
Do you ever love cooking more than the food?
Man, I'd love to say that. But I enjoy the cooking part of it. And it took me a while before I felt confident enough that I fed people. And when they said this is good, it really was.
Okay.
You know, like you're always kind of scared that it's not going to be as good as you thought it was going to be.
Okay, I got you.
And then when people are like, no, this is really good quality stuff. So that is always a nice thing. But
show me your meat.
Thank you very much, Corey. It's the, my family, my kids and my wife love the fireworks. And that brings me to this from Joe Dirt.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity-doo-dahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling holes, no spleen splitters, whoa, whisker biscuits, whoosker do's, whoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips of dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No. Because snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like.
Oh, my
well,
God.
That might be your problem. It's not what you like. It's the consumer.
And that, Kevin, is what it's all about, is go get some sparklers. We can't even have sparklers in Plano.
You can't have sparklers?
That's what they said. Yeah, they are asking us not to have sparklers in Plano. is what Adrian told me yesterday. But it's always a lot of fun to see the night light up.
I'm going to run a little exercise real quick. What do you think the critics gave Joe Dirt on Rotten Tomatoes? Scale of 100, 100.
65.
Come on, Corey. You think the critics gave... The critics
gave... 45.
Okay. Alec, that still feels optimistic.
Oh, my
me.
God.
Yeah.
What do you think the critics gave Joe Dirt?
9.
39? Nine.
Oh.
The answer is 9%. 9% of the critics gave it a thumbs up. But, Corey, you'll be glad to know.
87%.
It's not quite that. It should be higher. 64% of the audience said thumbs up to Joe Dirt.
It was Kid Rock that really killed everything for everybody, right?
Or you know what? I actually think people watched Joe Dirt 2 and retroactively went back and changed their vote because they were so mad they had to download Crackle or whatever it was.
I remember that.
Yeah. Dude. All right.
But yeah, like, I mean, Walken was in that. Was it Brittany Daniel?
Yes.
Was in that? Dude, that was a funny
Dennis
movie.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Kicking wing. That's awesome.
From the 817 Sports Opinion, the Rangers surge in the second half, win the division on the back of El Bombi, and favorite part of the fourth is blowing S up with the boys.
Yes.
And I feel like that's going to be an answer. When I tell you my answer, you're going to think it sounds kind of fancy. Favorite thing about the fourth is being off of work, of course, and they think the Rangers are going to miss the playoffs. That would be unfortunate. From the 817, wow. The San Antonio Spurs will win the West, and beers and hot dogs are their favorite part of the 4th of July. Alec, would you like to go next?
Sports opinion, gentlemen. The NBA, I'm starting to believe some of these conspiracies, not all of them, but some of them. And one of them that I am really intrigued by, that I saw some conversation getting sparked a little bit last night on Twitter. I seriously think that the Denver Nuggets and the Orlando Magic have this wild idea that in a couple of years, they'll be able to make a run at Luka.
Wow.
The Orlando Magic?
Yes. Because who are these teams hiring to fill out their staffs?
Mosley,
all of Luka's favorite assistants from the time he was here. What are they doing? They're freeing up money. They're adding talent. They're making moves that make sense for the short term, but also make sense in the long term, that can clear money. That can be, hey, we want to try to win right now. We want to try to compete, but hey, you know, 2027 sounds like it could be kind of fun too. So I do think that they're seeing, hey, LeBron's not so happy in L.A.
They just had
the ownership change in L.A. Who knows? We don't really know too much about the, because he hasn't been there long enough, about like the connection between Luka and the Buss family. Like, we don't really know how he truly feels there yet. That hasn't really gotten out to us. So maybe he does say, you know what? There's a lot of weird things happening here. I should test the market. I should see what happens. My buddy Jokic needs some help. You know, the Magic have all of my favorite staff members over there. That would be amazing. God, Sham God, I can reunite with him.
I like it.
That would be fun. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's one of the conspiracies that enough things have lined up for me to say, oh, listen. And I think it's fun. Like the LeBron stuff.
Yeah, that is kind of fun.
The LeBron stuff is a little bit fun, but I'm like, it's ridiculous right now. This stuff is so far in advance. It's years away that I'm like, you know what? I'm listening. So if it does happen, we can come back and be like, there were a few people that were ahead of this. Like, I think Bobby Carella was tweeting, kind of hinting at it last night. Like, are y'all noticing what I'm noticing here? And I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to pick up what everybody's putting down. This is going to be really fun.
Did we mention the McMiniman?
Dave McMiniman?
David Miniman?
Actually, I just really want to hear you.
Dave McMiniman. He said LeBron, the Mavericks, Dallas, I know, he says, would only be interested in LeBron in a buyout situation. So that does exist there.
And he's very plugged in. So He's been hinting at some stuff with the Lakers for weeks now that he's definitely been right on. But 4th of July, gentlemen, I talked about this last year. I think on the 4th of July, I was out with Fred Davis at Globe Life Field doing a remote. Yeah. And he was so enamored by this story that I told that every year, my buddy Carson out at his house in Waxahachie got a huge plot of land. We do a massive wiffle ball game of all of our high school and college friends, like full baseball staff. Like we have full rosters and we do a draft right when we get there and we play a massive game of wiffle ball. And somehow, some way, Carson, since it's his house, he's one of the captains. He picks somebody else to be a captain. They generate this fake beef with each other just to build up the anticipation for this game.
Okay.
So him and the other captain, Andreas, this year have been going at each other in the group chat, making full produced video packages about each other.
This is awesome.
And just absolutely verbally destroying each other with some stuff that's not FCC friendly and some stuff that is just kind of like corny and funny. And our buddy Jackson has made something that he's calling Drunk Center instead of Sports Center, where he's doing live updates on this and like the whispers and rumors of who's going to get drafted number one and stuff. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's a bunch of 24, 25, 26-year-olds that are like, you know what? We got too much time on our hands. We're going to overinvest production assets and time into this. And it's the biggest, dumbest, but most fun thing ever.
Yeah.
The game ends up being so intense because of it. I told you guys, I think last week, or I wasn't here last week, but maybe 2 weeks ago, that last year I came in relief in the second inning. I ended up going until the final out of the game where I lost all command because it was 100 degrees.
Oh my
Didn't
gosh.
Give up a run. Didn't give up wow. a run in that long relief effort. So I'm ready to shove again this year.
I freaking
So camaraderie. That's the short answer.
Heck yeah, camaraderie is what it's all about.
Oh, this one is delightful. From the 360, Cowboys improved this year but still finished third in the division. Favorite part of the fourth is it reminds me every single year when my wife came home from her Iraq deployment in 2003, she flew in on the 4th of July.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is like pretty much the most American thing.
Yeah.
Outside of Bill Pullman telling everybody that we can beat the aliens.
Yeah, that was a super American moment right there.
From
don't forget also the moment when you wake up in the morning and you go, ha ha, England has to work today.
I guess that is true. I have actually never thought about that.
Really?
I guarantee you tomorrow when I wake up, I will think, in your face, British people. From the 817, Rangers will have a great road trip and be buyers at the break. July 4th, going to my brother-in-law's house in the country and shooting off our own fireworks. All right, I have a question. This could be divisive. Dog owners and lovers of the world, can you accept that tomorrow night is just going to be a tough night for your dogs and move on with your life? Because, especially since it's on a Friday, you see people complain all the time when like July 4th on a Tuesday and maybe you got to go to work the next day. I get that. July 4th on a Friday. I know
it's going to be
dogs
chaos.
Hate fireworks, but can you maybe let people... the humans live their lives and be happy.
Is this because you want to shoot bottle rockets off in your alley like
no,
that one time?
No, because now we go out to the fancy lake house and everything like that. It's just like, it feels like people can have fun on a Friday night. And I know it sucks for the dogs and that's unfortunate, but like it's on the weekend. So maybe you can just let it go.
Yeah. So this is our first, dude, my dog is already gigantic. I think we're thinking this dude might be part Great Dane. Well, I mean, I guess I signed up for the dog. I just didn't anticipate this.
Yes, you did.
But he's already giant, like 6 months old. I have no clue how he's going to react. Landry would always come like lay underneath us. He didn't freak out. He was just like, nah, I'm good underneath y'all's legs right now.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested because this dog will go, our new dog Kodak, he will go to bed at like 8:30. He comes in there, lays down on the floor and just sprawls out and like, I'm out. And you have to literally like move him like a wet rug to get him to his bed now. So I'm interested to see if when all these fireworks, they're going to be going off for hours probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Whenever that's going on, how is he going to respond to this? But in that situation, I'm right there with you, Kevin. That's Everybody's celebrating. Don't be the wet blanket.
Now, my sports opinion is that Craig Parker is thinking ahead of the game and is a genius. Do you know who Craig Parker is? We referenced him on the show.
Spider-Man.
No.
Ice Cube and Friday.
That is Peter Parker.
Oh.
So Craig Park, no, it's not that Craig either. All right. Craig Parker is the number 15 cruiserweight in the WBA rankings, ranked just behind Jake Paul.
Okay.
And if you remember, Craig Parker is the guy that we said his last fight was at heavyweight and he won via knockout, and he's 20-0 in his career with 20 knockouts. He said Jake Paul being in the rankings is disgusting news to me, and he hasn't paid his dues. For him to just take a position that guys like me struggle to find, went to the gym, it's a long road to where we to get where we're at, and for him to be number 14, it's a slap in the face. Craig Parker understands how this business works. He sees the writing on the wall. Jake Paul is in the top 15, not because of merit, but because it will get him a title shot. And if, on the chance that Jake Paul wins, there's your fight. The guy who's already talking trash about you, that's never lost, never not knocked out an opponent.
Challenging you to a wiffle ball game.
He's already getting ahead of the game.
Yeah,
I love it. And he's like, if he can win, that's my big money fight. So I think he's a genius for this.
Yeah, no, that is smart. And I'm with the man, the dudes that have been scrapping for that stuff.
For sure.
This is one of the reasons I also think that some people don't like Caitlin Clark. They're like, she's just getting gifted all these things. She didn't have to work as hard as we did to get these things.
And the parallels are fascinating. Now, I think Caitlin Clark's better at basketball than Jake Paul is at boxing.
I agree.
But Jake Paul will try to disprove.
I think Bobby would disagree
that
with
theory.
You.
Yeah, that is actually probably true. And my favorite thing about the 4th of July is the boat parade.
So from the 972 Lake House, who does Hagee think he is? Russ Martin?
So
RIP Russ.
It's not my lake house. It's my in-law's lake house.
But you have a boat parade?
Oh yeah.
On this island?
Here's what they do on Lake Jacksonville. Maybe they do this everywhere. I'm not familiar. I've never been in a situation to continually be at a lake house.
Yeah.
But what they do on July 4th is they have a boat parade across the lake, and people dress up in 4th of July gear. Their boats are decked out. Last year, there was a giant, like, paper mache Uncle Sam on top of one of the boats.
Dude,
it was awesome.
Tell me that you've dressed up like George Washington and stood at the front, the bow of a boat.
Not yet.
But you want to.
But I have been on the boat in the boat parade because they decorated it. I don't think I added to the festive nature of it.
You haven't seen anybody dressed like George Washington?
Oh, yet? Absolutely I have.
All right.
But they haven't been like crossing the Delaware.
What if you dressed up like George Washington and then somebody else showed up dressed like George Washington, but they look better than you as George Washington?
Then I would be pissed and I would tell them to get the hell out of my tire shop. So, if you've seen that
this
show,
is too
but yes,
it's a show called Tires. It's funny.
It's the boat parade, and I think it's so much freaking fun. For the 817, now we're talking. Tyler Guyton will be an All-Pro this year. If that happens, and you said the linchpin is offensive line, it's going to be a good season. Man.
I think the offense can. Be, I think Dak is a good quarterback.
Sure.
I didn't say great. I didn't say elite. Sure. I said good. And I think whenever he has a good offensive line that protects, actually a great offensive line that protects him, and a decent running game, and I think these guys look like they can run the ball. When he has that, he can be a really good quarterback. And you actually were just kind of missing offense last year,
right?
You couldn't do anything offensively. So if you got that, I think the defense is going to be stout enough that if the Cowboys' offensive line is good, they're going to be a good team.
What they love most about the 4th is a good cookout with the friends and family. I'm going to go back to one more because you said something about this, and I have to admit, I probably All right. don't think about this a lot.
Fine.
From the 214, on the days the offense dominates, I think the Rangers are unstoppable. When they can't advance a runner on third with zero outs, I think we're cooked. Man, it's so true. Advancement of runners in situations. And Boach even said that yesterday. He's like, hey, get the bat on the ball.
Yeah.
And like, we need to advance that person.
I've actually seen Adolis choking up on two strikes. I don't know if you pay attention to his
hands.
Good. I've seen that. That's a positive thing.
And then they added, I love that my forefathers provided us independence for this fantastic nation. I have to admit, often on 4th of July, I do not reflect as much as I maybe should about the independence that we have. And that's delightful.
So every year, there are a couple times a year, Reggie will send me something to read. Martin Luther King Day, he'll send me a couple different things that Martin Luther King wrote, because I think Reggie's a super brilliant guy.
Agreed.
And so that was some, what should I read? It doesn't have to be a book. It could be a passage. It could be something. But what do y'all like to check in on? What do you like to read on 4th of July? Is there something specific?
That's a good question.
The Declaration of Independence?
And honestly, read that? With the Declaration of Independence, I think that is an interesting read because you see maybe the places that we've succeeded. And maybe the places that we still have work to do.
Yeah, and obviously, Nicolas Cage has the real copy of it still, so we're all screwed.
Did you know that we almost didn't get the original copy of the Declaration of Independence when they burned the White House down in 1813, 14, whatever, maybe it was 18.
There's still burn marks from that on the White House, by the way.
Okay, they rebuilt, shut up. No,
that's what I learned from the West Wing.
We really almost forgot that document because they were told, like, hey, the British are coming again and we need to get like all the documents. And they almost left
the Declaration
of Independence.
Not that one, guys. I don't think they did it on purpose. We kind of got to bring that one with us.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Alec, if you can, give me cut number 10. We need to talk a little bit of soccer.
There's Luna now. Big cushion. Diego Luna! USA 2, Guatemala 0.
Now, the United States would go on to win that game. And you talked the other day about how you'd be more fascinated by the Gold Cup as opposed to Club World Cup. So United States won. They scored both their goals in the first 15 minutes. They beat Guatemala 2-1. They will play Mexico in the Gold Cup finals. I believe this is the 8th time they've played Mexico in the finals. I apologize for not looking up the record. And that will be Sunday at 6 p.m. Do you get jazzed up for the Gold Cup, especially if they can win? Or do you just get sucked into U.S. soccer?
If they can win is a big deal right now with Diego Luna's, on
McAfee.
Yeah. And he's kind of got that attitude that you like, right? Like
sure.
he's saying what he's going to do and then he goes out and does it. And so that's kind of the thing you're looking at. Yeah. Whenever they're good, it's a big deal. But Kevin, I know they're only so good, right? Like I only know. And
sure.
So a lot of times not going to be good enough for me to be, you know, for the country to go, we're going deep into this.
Yeah.
So I do pick a secondary team for that purpose.
Oh, we've run that exercise before.
Although, you know, rooting for patriotism and everything. So that's fun. I'm hoping they're good. I'm hoping they're a lot better. But I do kind of like that they seem to have a little bit more of an attitude, and I'm cool with that right now.
Now, I got a couple of basketball notes for you. And this is the one that always amuses me about how the NBA works. You got the Kevin Durant deal. It's done, except it's not totally done, because when you run the numbers with, I don't know, the comptroller of the NBA, sometimes you find out things don't work perfectly. So it looks like the Spurs and Rockets deal is going to expand out into a 7-team deal. That would be a league record that will also include the Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, and Timberwolves. In an effort to balance out the money that you need on all sides.
Really?
Yeah. So probably some second round picks being tossed around, maybe not disposable player, but like a less heralded player will be involved in a couple of these. But yeah, looks like it's going to expand out to 7 teams.
Can we get 8?
Maybe. Look, they've never gotten up to 7 before. So yeah. I'm not going to be like, it's impossible. You want the Mavericks to slide in there, pick up a second round pick, deal off Dwight Powell or something. Look, I get it.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you found out that Dwight Powell had decided, I'm going to keep this option, this team, this player option. I'm coming back for another year.
You know what?
Did you kind of lose your mind a little bit?
No.
Did you think Mike was?
Because, you know what, yes. But what really made me lose my mind, and I knew it, and I shouldn't have done it, is I clicked on an article that said Mavericks get major component and I knew I shouldn't have.
They got you.
And I clicked on it, and it was some dumbass article about Dwight Powell opting in. And I was like, son of a gun.
Yeah.
And I felt stupid for that.
It's like the day that I clicked on the Pedro Pascal lookalike winner looks more like Pedro Pascal than Pedro Pascal. And I was like, there's no way I got to see this. And then he didn't. He didn't even look anything like Pedro Pascal.
All right. Do you want racing movies or DeAndre Ayton?
Let's go with DeAndre Ayton on this one.
DeAndre Ayton got the buyout from the Trailblazers. He has agreed to a 2-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. I believe he'll be making about $8 million per year because it's, two years.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
So, yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, that's the thing about the beauty of the buyout. He's got $25.6 million coming to him from the Trailblazers. So, look, I'll take $8 million. Yeah, no problem. So 2 years, $16.6 million. The Lakers desperately needed a center. Now they've got their center. Does that change your thoughts about the Lakers going forward?
Well, unfortunately, DeAndre Ayton has never been what I expected him to be.
Number one pick in the draft. That makes
sense. He's been a good player.
Yeah, for sure.
And you kind of look at some of his numbers and you're like, okay, I question his toughness sometimes. And then, you know, there's that one time when he's like, I couldn't get my car out of the driveway because it was so icy. And
yeah,
we all had that excuse. But I've always wanted to see him next to Luka, but that was because I was always like trying to get him into the Mavericks uniform. And now I'm kind of like, okay, I still want to see this thing play out. I want to see how Luka does with a big like that. Can they play a two-man game? Are they going to be able to have a good pick and roll together? I don't think defensively they're that much better of a team. You still have Luka, who I think is a defensive liability. He says he's going to change. We'll see how long it lasts. But I'm very interested to see that pairing together because it's always been something I wanted to see. I wanted the first two picks in the draft, Kevin. Remember, I was like, hey, how do we get both of these picks? And you're like, I don't know if that's going to happen. I was like, let's figure it out. And so all the Lakers need now. Trae Young and Marvin Bagley. Jaren Jackson's impossible because they would have the top five picks from that draft in 2016. That's all they need to do. So Jaren Jackson just signed a big deal, so they can't get him. But if they get Trae Young and Marvin Bagley III, that's Luka, Marvin Bagley, Trae Young, and DeAndre Ayton. That's almost a super team from that year.
Okay. I mean, look, we might not go in that direction. And the idea that somebody said DeAndre Ayton is mid. I'm not here to disagree with you. And like,
yeah, I'm not either.
I think that you saw to a certain extent kind of like Andre Drummond. There was thought that maybe like his style of game doesn't fit in the NBA anymore. But I think you found, especially from a rebounding standpoint, it can be a big deal. And then take a look at the fact that like the Lakers really didn't have any big. So it's not like I think Ayton is so much better than this person. It's like they didn't really have a big that they could consistently go to. So it's a step in the right direction for the Lakers. Now, whether that means they'll go off and do anything, can't say.
Yeah, and we still don't know exactly where the LeBron James thing lands either.
I mean, look.
He could be a Maverick.
Yeah, just buy him out. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got C-Block in a minute, but I feel
Let's
like...
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Caller
now.
Number 10.
Now.
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see T-Pain. Hey. Celebrating 20 years of T-Pain at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory on October 22nd. This is courtesy of Live Nation. You can, of course, go buy tickets or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Next! C-Block.
Your favorite thing from work that you have to have with you. Next on The Fan.